Fellow advisors, our most in-demand event is back. How to Charge Live is happening October 20th and 21st right here in my office in Franklin, Tennessee. Seats are limited and will sell out fast. We're now taking deposits to reserve your spot. Visit howtochargelive.com to reserve your seat today. My goal with this event is for you to leave changed, to see your business different forever. One advisor came to this event and signed a $2,000 a month planning client within a week. Another landed two new clients and doubled their financial planning revenue in just 30 days. I hope you can make this event. I will be there with you live for the full 2 days. Visit howtochargelive.com to reserve your seat today. I'll see you there. Welcome to this episode of Becoming an Elite Financial Advisor. My name is Sten Morgan. I'm an advisor just like you. And today we're going to be hanging out with Taylor Schulte, who's also a financial advisor, but he's also a great marketing mind in our business. He's going to walk us through a marketing funnel today. And we're going to do really step by step because I want you to eventually build what Taylor has, which is a system that creates leads for him. So you're not having to work as hard every single week to just go manually find new business. This is a challenging business. You're always going to have to work hard. But what if you can build something that sends you business every week? That's the goal. Let's dive in. Taylor, thanks for coming to the podcast, brother.
Sten, thanks for having me.
You bet. So when in your advisor journey did like marketing hit where you were like, you know, the average way it isn't working, I want to do it a different way? Or were you like a marketer from day one?
It's interesting when I look back in college, marketing was my favorite class. And I thought I wanted to be in marketing. And I ended up landing myself in finance. I don't really know how I ended up in finance. Like I just had a job at Morgan Stanley and I took it and they gave me a phone and a desk and said, bring in $15 million. And so at that time, it was just kind of old school sales. I was at the wirehouse. And when I left the wirehouse in 2012, I had a lot more flexibility and freedom to grow my practice. And that's when that kind of marketing bug came out of me again. I'm like, oh, I get to, you know, try all these things that I've heard about and read about and learned about. And so I had a lot of opportunity to start to experiment. And that's essentially what I did. I probably experimented for a little bit too long. But yeah, it's about 5 years into my career when I had that freedom and flexibility to actually implement real marketing is when I discovered not just like this passion, but I would say this skill, maybe even a superpower of mine, or just kind of comes naturally, just kind of like, it just makes sense to me.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of advisors have that natural bent. I think there's a lot of good advisors, there's technical advisors, but even when it comes to like you're running a business or you need to put a marketing hat on, do you find that that's pretty, not necessarily a natural skill for most advisors?
It's probably not, but I think somebody in the firm needs to have that skill. And I guess, it, you know, it could certainly be outsourced as well. But I first heard this from my friend Tiffany Charles years ago. You might know Tiffany. And when she first said this to me, I was kind of scratching my head, like it didn't make sense. And since then, I've heard a lot of people say the same thing, which is we are a marketing firm that does financial planning. Nice. And I think that's probably the right way to look at it. At first, it just kind of, I don't know, yeah, kind of caught me off guard. I'm like, what do you mean you're a marketing firm that does financial planning? I thought we're a financial planning firm trying to market our services to find more, you know, amazing clients. But I think that is the right way to look at it. So if you don't have the skill set or you don't have the time, you know, probably you need to find somebody, whether it's internal or outsourced to help fill that gap.
Yeah, I think without direction, the industry will kind of swoop you into like the average path, which is like, it is up to your blood, sweat, and tears to go find people on the street. Yep. And get them to do business with you. And I think the law of numbers does eventually work. But for me, as soon as I was like, but maybe there's a better way. You know, I felt like as a young advisor, I was like, I guess I'll do what you're telling me, but it doesn't seem like most of those people are having great results and they don't seem that happy. Like it seems like 10 to 15 years of a grind. And then eventually I have a job that I actually want to have until I started having some of this marketing content and language around me. But I think to your point, I had to kind of first sit with like, this makes no sense until it does.
Sure. And then it depends too. I feel like in the most simplest form, there's kind of this fork in the road for financial planners. It's like, do you just want to be a financial planner, just an amazing financial planner all day long, working with clients and doing good work for them? You know, or do you want to be a business owner and really grow this business? And if it's the latter, again, those marketing skills and building marketing funnels and strategies within your firm is really important because it's hard to be a great marketer, a great business owner, CEO, and a great financial advisor all day long.
Yeah.
I went to that Alex Hormozi event, the acquisition.com event in Vegas. Great event. The one takeaway for me is the kind of the hierarchy of things they tell you as a business owner to focus on. And one, they're like, you need to have a great product. Like if people aren't buying your stuff, like you're not going to be in business. And I think there's a lot of advisors that get to a place to where they're like, I have something that people need. But the second one immediately is revenue. Like if you are not getting enough clients and enough revenue, you shouldn't think of anything else. Like you don't need to have an out of this world client experience. If the one you have now is good enough, you just need to help more people. And so I do think there's this element of like, as soon as I start making enough money to not be scared every day and I'm paying my bills, I can now just get lost in the busyness of my practice. And where I once was like so revenue and prospecting focused, I slowly start losing that to just service busyness. And so I know for me, when it comes to like the flywheel and the funnel stuff, it's like, that doesn't get me excited. I love sitting with a client in a room and like getting them to say yes and showing them ideas. And I like making content. I just don't have enough time anymore as a business owner to do it so manually like I used to. Yeah. So for me, as we grow, it almost seems like the only thing that you can do. Like, and if you're listening right now and you're not doing this, you will hit a point to where you either stall out or you have to start doing this, is where you create something that scales, that actually pulls people in.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I might say it slightly different. I mean, you're right. Scaling and naturally pulling people in, I think it really comes down to having a system and a process. Just like we have a system and a process for financial planning, have a system and a process for our marketing. So we're not just winging it, right? We're not just out there trying to play that game of numbers and putting a different type of proposal in front of different types of people. It's like every single person goes through the same funnel and every person goes through the same sales process and the same onboarding experience. Really systematizing those things is where the magic really starts to happen. And that's where I got myself into trouble is I started to have some success with marketing and the phone started ringing. But now I'm treating every prospect differently and I'm pulling my hair out trying to put together a proposal over here for this person, this business owner, and now this person over here who is retiring in a couple of years. And it really just came down to a lack of systems and processes.
Wow, that's good. Yeah, I know when we started doing the financial planning and that started scaling, you know, if you have five financial planning clients, that's one thing. In addition to like, you know, I like to manage AUM and do some insurance here and there. But once you have 40, yeah, there will come a point that like an improvised duct tape system will fall apart. And where I used to have pretty custom engagements, like a business owner would come in, I'm like, oh, we're going to do this and that. And it felt like to me, I was doing them a favor by showing them how custom it was.
Right.
But then I was hurting my team because they're like, every time it feels like we're creating something new versus what we eventually moved to is like, if you're a business owner, you do a 3-month engagement with us. And here's the six things we're going to cover. And it's so much more repeatable and it can still feel customized to them. It's just the system behind the scenes is 90%. The same because we've dialed it in.
Yeah. And I think that feels good to the prospect as well. I mean, just when you say that out loud, like, hey, we have a 3-month process that you're going to go through that every single business owner goes through with our firm. It tells me that you've done this before. You've created a process and a system for helping people just like me.
Yeah. So let's dive in practically. You have kind of your marketing funnel template. We're going to post this stuff to the show notes so anybody listening can go check it out in detail what we're talking about. But I know you speak on this a lot. So if you're imagining our listeners, some are experienced advisors making great income, but they're like, but I don't market. I just know people. And I've let this thing grow slowly over time, but I don't think it has to be this challenging. Or to the advisors that are, I'm trying it the manual way and it's kind of working, but I'd rather do something different. What are some practical first steps without them having to become Taylor, who has, you know, a marketing mind and has a content machine? Like, what's the first step?
Yeah. So I created this template, which I know you'll be giving away to your listeners there in the show notes to really help simplify things. Because what I end up seeing with advisors, even those that are having some success, is they're just, you know, throwing spaghetti at the wall. And sometimes things work and sometimes they don't. And the goal of creating just one single effective marketing funnel is to create sustainable, predictable growth. We don't want to just throw things at the wall and hopefully something works. And by the way, you can get into a lot of trouble there when you're throwing spaghetti at the wall because all of a sudden one day you get a prospect or even a client from Instagram and you think, okay, well, I better keep posting on Instagram because I got that one prospect or that one, you know, client from Instagram. Mm. And so you get these like dopamine hits along the way and you think I have to keep doing all these things because that one time I got a referral from my client when I asked him that question or that one time somebody from YouTube commented and ended up scheduling a phone call with me. So we have to be careful of getting trapped into thinking we have to do all these things. And so the goal of putting together this template and really thinking about it in terms of a funnel is to convince advisors that you don't really have to do that much to create predictable, sustainable success with your marketing, and kind of using your words, to kind of attract people into that funnel. And so the first step is just to, one, acknowledge that I don't need to do everything. In fact, I'm just going to create one single marketing funnel. And when you create one single marketing funnel the right way and it starts to work, you have two choices. I can either just pour gasoline on this existing funnel, or I can start to kind of parlay this funnel into additional funnels. But we don't need to create a bunch of them all at once. I mean, I built my practice from basically nothing to over $250 million in AUM in the last 5 years, just with one single marketing funnel. Right. And so that's really the goal here, is just acknowledge I don't have to do a lot. I just need to create one awesome marketing funnel, something that feels good to me, that's authentic to me, things that I'm good at. And then from there, I can decide, do I want to pour gas on this thing and take it to the next level, or start to, you know, stitch together additional marketing funnels? So with that in mind, Sten, it might be helpful to kind of go through each of the different layers of this marketing funnel, and then can kind of dive into some different things from there.
Yeah, I do think the, and so stage one of the funnel you call awareness. Stage two is engagement. And then the bottom of the funnel would be conversion.
Yep.
And some of these that you guys will see if you go download it, there's some to me that feel like a bigger lift, like a podcast is your top of funnel. That might feel like a bigger undertaking. Was your first funnel podcast driven, or was it like a piece of content, a download, a course driven? How'd you start?
Well, my first kind of successful piece of the funnel was the podcast. I had tried a number of different things. Again, I probably experimented for too long before I finally said, all right, this is like the core piece of my funnel that I'm going to focus on. But maybe backing up here for a minute, one thing that's really important on this first page of this template is understanding where these marketing activities fit in the marketing funnel, because that then allows you to set proper expectations about that marketing activity. So the example I like to give is, I'll often hear from advisors who say, Taylor, I paid this social media consultant $10,000 to run Facebook ads for me. We didn't get a single client as a result over the last, you know, 6 months. Therefore, I've concluded that Facebook ads don't work. So I fired that person, and now I'm going to go try something else. And what I say is, it's not that Facebook ads don't work. It's that you might have had the wrong expectations about where Facebook ads fit in the marketing funnel and how they complement or should be complementing the other layers of your marketing funnel. So Facebook ads, in addition to search engine optimization, direct mail, PR stuff, you know, some sort of viral campaign, even I would say an in-person booth at a trade show. These are examples of top of funnel marketing activities. And the job of a top of funnel marketing activity like SEO or paid advertising or a booth at a trade show where you're introducing yourself to people, the job of that activity is just to bring awareness to you, your services, your firm, what you do. Just like Sten exists. Like I exist as a financial planner and I help these types of people. That's it. That's the only job of a top of funnel activity. You can't expect a total stranger at the optometry conference where you have a booth at. You can't expect a total stranger to meet you, Sten, and hand over their life savings. Mm. So the goal of that activity is just, I want to get in front of the right people and bring awareness to me, who I am, what I do, and just that I exist. And once you understand that and acknowledge that, then you can set proper expectations around that marketing activity. So that trade booth example, like how many people did I get in front of when I spent $25,000 on that booth at that trade show, right? Did I get in front of the right people, the right number of people? Was that a successful marketing activity to bring awareness to me and my firm, my team, you know, my services? Same thing with Facebook ads, same thing with SEO or direct mail, all these things. Just, are they effective in bringing awareness? And that's it. We're not expecting SEO to lead to a new client.
Nice. That makes sense. And so you would it be fair to say that a lot of advisors that have tried this, they just stop there and they're hoping that the awareness step does all three steps?
It's either, what I see is either client or advisors are engaged in a middle of the funnel activity, which we'll talk about next. So an example of that would be a podcast or a blog. We'll dive deeper in here in a minute, but either they've got a podcast or a blog and they've been, you know, hosting it, writing it for a year, and nobody's reading it, nobody's reaching out, nobody's become a client. They're like, you know, I've got this great blog, but nobody's reading it. You know, blogs don't work. I'm going to go try a YouTube channel next. So either they're being consistent in creating content, but they don't have a good top of funnel activity to bring awareness to that thing that they're doing. Nice. Or again, they've got a great top of funnel activity. Maybe they've hired an amazing SEO agency. That agency is driving tens of thousands of people to their website every single week, every single month, but nobody's becoming a client. They're like, well, this agency is not doing their job. SEO doesn't work. I'm going to fire them and go try something else. So it's one of the two. Either they're stuck in the middle of the funnel and they don't have a top of funnel activity that's supporting it, or they've got a top of funnel activity and just wildly, you know, wrong expectations about what that activity should be doing. Because all these things work. Everything down to direct mail. I mean, think about Fisher Investments. You know, you can't look at me and say direct mail doesn't work. It's like they largest.
Just figured it out. Yeah.
Right. Well, they understand where it lives in the marketing funnel, that I don't just send this beautiful direct mail package to Sten and expect him to become a client tomorrow. That's not how their funnel works.
Got it.
I started getting the best results when I started focusing more. Instead of trying to solve multiple problems at once, I started focusing my time, energy, and money on solving my biggest area of resistance first, so then I can move on to the next one. Are you aware of the biggest area of resistance in your practice? I built an assessment to help you identify that area so that you can focus all of your time, energy, and money on solving it as quickly as possible. Visit gobeelite.com to take the assessment now.
What do you feel from a top of funnel standpoint? What would you say is the most approachable one at this level? So we all agree we don't want to be a secret. You know, you can have the most amazing product nobody knows about you. It doesn't help. Obviously, you know, there can be SEO, but I'm guessing you need to have a pretty great website to some degree in order for that to be justified. What are some issues at that awareness level you find? If people are listening, you want to say, just don't do this to start.
I think one of the biggest challenges for advisors is a lot of great top of funnel marketing activities require an investment. And Sten, as you know, advisors don't like to spend money on marketing. Yeah. So when you think about SEO, like, sure, you could go and learn SEO, but it's probably going to take years of your time, right? And you as a financial planner or business owner probably shouldn't be spending your time learning SEO. So a lot of these things require an investment, require you hiring somebody. And just like financial planning, you get what you pay for. You go hire an SEO consultant in India and pay them $100. Like, you know, you're probably not going to get much out of it. When I've hired SEO consultants, I'm spending thousands of dollars per month at a minimum. So a lot of these things do cost money. If you don't have, you know, resources, then you can think about another strategy like referrals, right? So a client referral marketing funnel doesn't really require, I mean, you might hire a consultant, but it doesn't require a big investment necessarily. But again, now we have to think about our referral strategy from this top of funnel awareness, you know, starting point, which is just because we ask somebody for a referral doesn't mean that we just automatically get a referral. So we have to think, what are we going to do at the very beginning to bring awareness to us? And maybe it's a COI referral strategy where we first need to not just meet these COIs, but we have to educate them and train them on who we do our best work for and what our process is like, and then train them how to move people down our funnel. So all these things work. They all work really, really well. But I think the first decision is, do I want to pay for something? You know, or do I want to do something on my own, use my time instead of my dollars? The other way to think about this too.
Or they hope that there's a better way, something that creates consistent leads versus maybe what they're doing now, to where it's like, hey, I worked really hard this month, so I created some business. Now I'm going to work on that business, but then my funnel or my pipeline went dry because I was busy doing the business. And you're in this kind of roller coaster of like anxiety when your pipeline's empty and you have to push yourself to get more leads. I know for me, I think there's probably a simple funnel that everyone listening can create, even if you're a solo advisor. And my hope is everybody listens, they end up in a room by themselves with a whiteboard for like an hour, kind of just sitting with this and, you know, taking notes of like, what did Taylor say that I got frustrated with, didn't make sense, maybe I disagreed with. And then I think your funnel probably levels up over time. I know as soon as I hired content people and had somebody help me with podcasts, I was like, oh, this feels less heavy. Because as the advisor, who's really the only person that could deliver our product, I'm no longer trying to wear all these other hats. But also revenue is needed to do that. And so I think there's a 10-year path to where you decide not to invest in this stuff. You try to do too much of it on your own, and then you wait eventually to make enough money to hire people. Or you put your business owner hat on, you say, I'm going to make an investment in this because I know it's going to pay off. And even before I fund my personal Roth IRA or 401k, I'm going to invest money in marketing so people know I exist.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because I think to your point, this does work. And sometimes I've been frustrated when it's like, man, why isn't this working for me? Because I see other people doing it and it's working for them. Like, am I the problem? That it is usually just an awareness or education or understanding issue. And I think with a lot of stuff you teach, it's like, just follow the process. It'll work.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's stitch this together a little bit further so we can kind of complete the funnel, because there's a couple more important things here. First is we're just going to choose one activity for each layer of the funnel. So for the top of funnel, we're going to choose one marketing activity. For our middle of the funnel, so the middle of our funnel marketing activity is designed to engage with these prospects who are now aware of us, that we exist, to engage with them, to build trust with them, to nurture them, to show our expertise, right? So we're not expecting this middle of the funnel activity to just magically turn them into a client. They became aware of us through the top of funnel activity that we chose. Yep. Now they're in the middle of our funnel. They're consuming our content in some way, shape, or form, and I'm building trust with them and nurturing them. Again, we're asking people to trust us with their entire life savings. So they might live in the middle of your funnel for years before they reach out. And this is why we have to be consistent. And we really can only do one of these things because it's hard to do all these things really well over and over and over again. So a middle of the funnel marketing activity would be something like a podcast, blog, a YouTube channel, hosting in-person workshops, seminars, online webinars, public speaking. I mentioned, COI networking. So some sort of COI nurturing process would live here in the middle of your funnel. Email marketing, an email newsletter, an ongoing, weekly email newsletter would be a middle of the funnel activity. So if we back up again to the top of the funnel, we have a single top of funnel activity that brings awareness to us. Let's just use search engine optimization as an example. So you use SEO to attract people to your website. Once they get to your website, SEO has done its job, but now we have to move those people to the middle of our funnel. And one way we can do that is to have some sort of opt-in on our website. We call that a lead magnet. If you give me your email address, I'll send you this awesome guide on how to lower your taxes in retirement. So we have to move these people down the funnel. So somebody found our website through great SEO, our single top of funnel marketing activity. We've now, a certain percentage of them have opted in to receive this free guide in exchange for their email address. Now they're on our email list. And now on a weekly basis, they're going to get my awesome email newsletter. So this isn't just some canned templated newsletter that you pay some, industry agency to put together for you. This needs to be an amazing piece of content that you send out to your ideal clients every single week. This isn't just like when I have time type of thing. And that's why it has to be just one thing. You can't write an amazing email newsletter and be writing a blog and hosting a podcast and teaching classes on the weekend. It's just too much. Yeah. So they become aware of you through that single activity. Now they're on your email list. You're nurturing them every single week, showing them how you can solve their biggest pain points, building trust with them. And then at some point, you have to move them to the bottom of your funnel. So you're going to have some sort of call to action that says like, hey, I specialize in working with retirees with over $2 million who have massive tax problems in retirement. By the way, we offer a free retirement assessment. If you're interested, click here to learn more. Now, again, not everyone's going to click there. Not everyone's going to go to that next page and then schedule a call with you, but a certain percentage will. And if you focus purely on that funnel and just those three activities and you pour everything you have into those three activities, you're going to start to create this sustainable, repeatable, predictable marketing funnel. It's not going to happen overnight. Probably take close to 3 years to just focus on those three activities, those three layers of the funnel to start to see that success.
I love that. Yeah. Thanks for summarizing that. I've heard funnel conversations that are much more intimidating and complicated. I think there is just, it can be. I think the stuff you're talking about is not an overnight lift, but I think from a framework standpoint, that feels doable in my mind as I hear it, which is good. When it comes to the opt-in piece, do you find, I know I see in some other industries that I bump into, like, the three steps to do this, the five mistakes most people make, like, do you find that people like pieces like that?
I am not an email opt-in expert. If I were to optimize my funnel for email marketing, which I have not. It's a kind of secondary, tertiary funnel of ours.
Okay.
So I can share more about our primary funnel here if you'd like.
Yeah.
But if I were to go all in on an email marketing funnel, I would hire somebody to tell me exactly what to do to create the perfect pop-up, the perfect offer. Of course, I would probably want to develop and write the lead magnet, the free guide or ebook or video series, whatever it is that I'm giving them.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I will say in our industry, what attracts people the most are these, like, the biggest, you know, the five biggest threats to your retirement.
Yeah, like I hate to lead the fear side of it.
Yeah, but unfortunately, it's just what works. I mean, there are so many fears around running out of money, taxes, and retirement. So I don't love it, but that's just kind of what seems to work. You know, the five biggest mistakes you could make as you approach retirement, that sort of stuff does seem to work well. But again, these trends do change over time. Yeah. I'd say the biggest thing when it comes to these opt-ins and email marketing is every single person has an email opt-in on their website. Everybody's offering some sort of lead magnet. So consumers are requiring more and more value in exchange for their email address. And the last thing we want to do is convince somebody to give us their email address in exchange for something. And that thing you send them is not of great value, right? That's not a great way to start the relationship in that middle of the funnel when you're trying to build trust with this complete stranger on the internet.
Yeah. Is it fair to say that you will have people maybe fall out as a client at every stage, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the whole funnel is not necessary? Like, there might be somebody that hits awareness and says, hey, great, sign me up, but it's probably not going to be at scale enough for this to be a viable part of your business.
Yeah, that's exactly why it's called a funnel. Kind of gets narrower and narrower and narrower as you go down. So, you know, your top of funnel activity is just this casting this wide net to your target client, right? This is not to everybody. Again, the trade booth example, if you specialize in working with dentists, you're going to, you know, dentist trade shows and conferences and setting up your booth there. So you're casting a wide net to your target demographic. And then a certain percentage of those people that walk by your trade booth might give you their email address in exchange for a free consulting session or a copy of your book or, you know, a free guide of some sort. Not everybody that walks by your booth, but a certain percentage will end up in the middle of your funnel. Again, a certain percentage in the middle of your funnel will then move to the bottom of your funnel to reach out and learn more about your services and go through your sales process.
Nice. So your funnel, kind of the one you've had the most success with, which I appreciate you said we didn't need 10 of them, like one has driven most of your growth. Would you unpack that one for us?
Yeah. So I started in the middle of the funnel, and I'm not suggesting this by any means. It just kind of happens naturally where an advisor is doing something fairly well, and it's either they've got something they're doing really well in the middle of the funnel to engage with people and build trust, or they're doing something well in the top of funnel. So for me, it was podcasting. So I tried a bunch of different things. I ended up with a microphone, launching a podcast, really liked it, started to get better at it. And then I ran into the problem of like, okay, I'm producing and hosting this, what I think is a, and again, you have to be honest with yourself here too. Like, I really felt like I was producing and publishing a really high quality podcast. Now, the challenge with podcasting is discovery is really hard, right? It's unlike, you know, Google or YouTube where there's like this natural discovery. Podcasting isn't, it's getting better, but it's not there yet. And so I had this great podcast, but my subscribers were fairly low. My downloads were fairly low. So I said, okay, I need to have a great top of funnel marketing activity to attract more people to this awesome thing that I'm producing every single week. So the first top of funnel activity that I used to get more awareness was search engine optimization. So still to this day, if you go to Google and you type in best retirement podcast or retirement podcast, I will show up on page one of Google a few different ways. So a few of my websites will show up, and then Google will put my podcast up there in a couple different ways as well. Now, other retirement podcasts are up there as well. So I can't expect everybody that Googles best retirement podcast to click on my show. I don't need them to. I just need a certain percentage of them to click on my show and a certain percentage to subscribe now to my weekly educational retirement podcast. So I used SEO to bring awareness to my podcast. Certain percentage of them, you know, moved to the middle of my funnel and subscribed to the podcast. Now I host my show on a weekly basis. And then periodically on the show, I will have my call to action. Hey, we're offering a free retirement assessment on the podcast. I have to deliver this in audio form. I can't say click here because there's nowhere to click. Yeah. So I'll say we offer a free retirement assessment to these types of people. If you're interested, go to freeretirementassessment.com to learn more. And I'll do that a few times per year. And every time I do it, I get a new batch of people that come to our website and schedule calls with us. So that was kind of the first
standing call to action.
It's what
you're building awareness, but you don't always have that call to action on every episode.
Yeah. So I took the approach of I didn't want to sell to my audience week after week after week. So I kind of follow the Gary V, what he calls the jab, 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 right hook method, where most of the time I'm just providing as much value as possible. I'm just sharing as much as I can, providing as much value as possible to educate and build trust. And then periodically, I'd say 3 to 4 times per year, I go directly to my audience with that call to action. It's usually at the beginning of an episode. Hey, really quick before we start today's show, you know, we offer a free retirement assessment. Here's who we specialize in working with, blah, blah, blah. That's my approach. I'm not saying it's the right approach, but it does work for us, especially since we have surge meetings in the spring and the fall. And I want to be careful about when our prospect calendar gets filled up. So I can kind of batch our prospecting around our client meetings so that we don't sacrifice our level of service that we're delivering. So that funnel started to work. I started to get more awareness to the podcast. Downloads started to grow. And again, this is where that decision has to be made. Okay, this funnel is working. I can keep doing this. I can keep putting more time and money into SEO, or I can pour gas on this thing and take it to the next level, or I can just build an entirely new funnel. And so for me, I was like, well, I don't want to build a whole new funnel right now. I want to pour gas on this existing funnel. So what else can I do to bring awareness to the podcast, right? Not go start a blog, not go start a YouTube channel. Just I'm going to continue hosting this amazing weekly podcast. How can I get more people other than the people showing up through SEO? How can I get more people to the podcast? And so then I started to guest to pitch myself onto other people's podcasts where my ideal clients live to go on their show and share as much knowledge as I could, provide as much value as I could, and use as an opportunity to mention my show. And so I did that for 6 to 12 months. And that's really kind of the hockey stick moment for the podcast. And it's right there in the analytics. It just starts to go up. So through SEO and guesting on other people's podcasts, my podcast grew pretty substantially. It now sits in the top 75 in the investing podcast category in Apple Podcasts. And it really was just those two things. That's it. But again,
And it's accomplishing what you want it to, right? Like your goal was not, I want this to be this massive thing. Like you wanted it to complement your existing business. And is it fair to say it's gotten to a point where it's healthy enough and you're not trying to make it grow, or are you happy if it gets as big as it can?
It's healthy enough. I'd like for it to continue to grow, but once you get to this point, it gets harder and harder to climb those charts. Now we're, competing with the Dave Ramseys of the world. So it does get a little bit more challenging. Yeah. So we have recently in the last 6 months started to build a second funnel. I don't know if we want to go into that conversation today, but yeah, the podcast works. It continues to work really well. The one thing I want to say here is hopefully everyone caught on that we do have to direct people to move to these different layers, right? I can't just like optimize my website for best retirement podcast and then like nothing happens. I have to make it really easy for them to subscribe. And then I have to add a ton of value to build trust with them so they continue to subscribe and download my show and share it with their friends and family. And then again, I have to have that explicit call to action, because there's a period of time where I had a healthy amount of downloads, but nobody was reaching out to my firm. I didn't want to be salesy and go into sales mode. So I just held back from really asking my audience for anything. And it wasn't until I really drew it in crayon saying like, I'm a financial advisor. I'm taking on new clients. Go here if you want to learn more. Yeah. I had people reach out to me and say, oh, geez, I didn't even know that you were a financial advisor. I thought you were, just a podcast person or a financial influencer of some sort. So we really do have to draw the stuff in crayon and create processes to move people through these different stages of the funnel. It's really hard to just expect people to move to the bottom of your funnel and raise their hand and say, hey, Sten, please sell to me. Tell me what your services are and how much you charge.
Yeah, that'd be great. But yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I love this, man. Thank you. As we wrap it up, I think the at times what frustrates me with the industry is depending on where you start as an advisor is going to maybe influence a lot of what you think is the right way to go about the business. I started in some really big insurance broker dealers where, similar, I think, to your story. It's like the more people you call, the better. If you call 100, you'll probably reach 10, maybe one becomes a client or three. And I bought into it and that can work. And so for everybody listening, I want you to know there's a different way to go about getting people's attention, adding value to them. And it operates in a system to where over time it becomes less heavy But I do think from listening to you, there's a chance a lot of people listening, it does feel like a new thing. Like, I have to learn this. I have to invest in this. But I think for your practice, based on the numbers, you would never go back and do it any differently. Is that fair to say?
It is fair to say. And I know you asked me this question earlier and I gave you an answer, but I'll add to it and say one of the first things that you'll be doing when you take action here is eliminating most of the things that you're doing. Mm. Because again, you can't do everything all at once. So the hardest part of this is just narrowing it down and saying, I'm just going to select one single top of funnel activity, one middle of the activity. But it is really hard to let go a lot of the things that you're doing. Because again, like, oh, that one time somebody reached out. So that's probably the hardest part, is just getting really focused and really narrow and just owning it. Well, and by the way, Sten, I host a marketing podcast called Advisor Marketing Made Simple. And my co-host and I, Kendra Wright, we did like an hour long episode breaking down the marketing funnel in great detail. So I know we kind of sped through some things here today. I don't know the episode number. I'll send you a link to the episode afterwards.
Perfect.
So I know everyone will have the template, a little video I recorded, and then that episode to the podcast will dive into great detail if you really want to learn more.
That's perfect. Appreciate you, brother. I know we could talk about this for a long time, but hopefully that teases everybody enough to say, you know, go find the resources, listen to Taylor's marketing podcast, because this is one of those things to where your future self will thank you if you start building it now versus putting it off, because I know it's the direction we're going. To say this doesn't have to be as challenging as it's felt for the last 10 years, but it does require some work.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, brother.
Thanks, Dan. Really appreciate you having me.